Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go.
We're Brooklyn at? We're Brooklyn at? We're Brooklyn at?
Well, actually, I live in Delaware now. So does that make me a Delawarean?
Keep singing, girl.
You know, Beyonce is my friend in my head. They're my people sometimes, too. You know, when I was a kid, I had an imaginary enemy. Like, does that make me crazy?
Does that make me crazy?
Life as P, presented by Say What Radio.
Hey, yo, what the deal is? Hey, welcome to Life as P. I'm your host, Phoenix Ash. My people call me P. If my voice sounds a little different to you, it is because I've been under the weather for about a week or so, but my voice is doing its thing and I don't want to stay away from sharing my thoughts and what I'm learning and all of that with you guys, because honestly, I'm forgetful. And by the time I'm well, I would have moved on to a new subject. And this one actually hits home for me. And hits home for me on several occasions. I think it comes up a number of times in my life. And really, it's about knowing what you want. You know, I had a talk with a friend the other day, and he was like, he doesn't know what he wants. And I was like, all right, cool. And he's like, no, I really don't know what I want. And I turned that around in my head for a while. And I know this person, and I know them for a bit. And you know, when I think about how he moves and the things that he does, and I think about myself and the other people around me, I'm like, you know, our subconscious speaks extremely loud. Things that we think we're keeping hidden, we're not. So we have these behaviors and we say these things or do these things that sometimes we don't notice ourselves. But maybe someone outside of us or a group of people outside of us may realize these things, and it may take us some time to realize these things within ourselves. You know, it's the same thing my aunt said to me, too, because there was a point where I was like, I don't know what I want career-wise. Like, I don't know which direction I want to go in. I don't know if I want to do more corporate. I don't know if I want to, you know, find an additional creative outlet. I don't know. I don't know what I want. And she was like, you know what you want. There's so many things in your life that point to what you want because you're doing them and you're finding a way to do them and you're frustrated when you can't do them, that you know what you want. And so when I was talking to this friend of mine, I was like looking at his behaviors and what he does and whatever. And I'm like, he knows what he wants, right? I think, at least in my case, right, a lot of us know what we want. But we think it's either preposterous, we think we can't have it, that it's next to impossible, or we want more than one thing. And those things don't seem to align with each other. So we say we don't know what we want, right? So like the person who says, I want to be an astronaut, but I also want to be an Olympic runner. We hear that and we're like, that's so like crazy. It's not even on the same spectrum. So that person doesn't know what they want, but they could theoretically want both of those things. It's on them to find out how to have both of those things in their lives. How much work are they willing to put in on either one? Like build a system for themselves. And I think when we say we don't know what we want, that we secretly do know what we want. And we just don't know how to put it into words, or we don't know how to accept it, or we're afraid to chase after it. I find that with myself so many times, and I probably talked about it before, but, you know, I say you got to say it out loud, put it on paper, communicate it to people. You know, I know people say, you know, hustle in silence, don't tell people what you want and all of that. But I'm like, this is a fabricated struggle. We want to struggle, I guess, to some degree. We say we don't want to, right? But to some degree, I think that the thing that we want, we don't want the easy thing, right? We want the thing that we got to work for. We got, because that means I really want it, because I'm willing to do the work for it. And, you know, it's hard and it's going to be that much better when I get it, if I get it, if it's possible for me to get it. But I think it's a fabricated struggle, because sometimes your calling is your path of the least resistant. You know, I went to school, and I talked about this a while ago, but I went to school to get my master's in creative writing. And I thought I was going to school to learn how to write like this great book, the great novel. And not that I didn't come home with some good skills to contribute to writing novels, but I fell in love with screenwriting. And I was so afraid of it. When I saw the format and how to do it, and I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to remember, because, you know, my memory's trash. So I'm like, I'm never going to remember how to do this. I'm never going to be able to get the format correctly. My first couple of assignments, I was like stuck in the assignments, you know, for weeks and weeks and weeks, because I was like, I got to get this right. And then I finally got it right. And after I got it right, I learned about the tool that I could have used to format everything. But it's cool. I learned the long way, right? It's kind of like division. I learned the long way, and then I learned the shortcut. But I really love telling a cinematic story. I love the story that doesn't end quickly, that keeps going. That's probably why Savage Fever is probably my favorite book that I've ever written. There's so many seasons to it in my mind. It's such a world to live in. That's just why I love it. But I would say I didn't know what I want. And so I tried to have it all. And I was like, I want fiction and I want screenwriting. And then I saw how much money it was going to cost me to do capstones in both. I was like, oh, goodness, I really do need to choose. And, you know, I went through this thing with professors and saying that I, you know, wasn't up to par for the person that I chose to be my mentor. You know, my reading background wasn't up to par because I hadn't read these 50 million white books that he had considered classics. But I was well read in black books, and which matters to me because I tell black stories. I'm a black girl telling black stories, you know, good, bad, indifferent. That's what I do. And he wasn't looking at me in terms of the context of the stories that I wanted to tell and who I would align myself with. But my roommate, you know, and I'm sure I told this story because I tell stories, repeat stories all the time. But my roommate at school has said to me, she was like, why are you, this guy, like the whole fiction thing is like escaping you. And the screenwriting thing, the mentor, like, is excited to work with you, believes that you have it. You've worked hard at it to get it right, and now you got it right. And when you tell me your ideas and you tell me your stories, they're very cinematic. They're very much like a movie or an extended television series or something. It's like they're so exciting and they're so vivid. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I think because I get something locked in my head and I'm just like, this is what I got to do. And sometimes it's very difficult for me to change course because I'm like, I don't know. I think I also have a control issue and I hate being wrong. So it's part of like admitting that I might have been wrong a little bit and I couldn't predict perfectly what it is that I'm supposed to do. But eventually, you know, I went with the screenwriting and I had a wonderful, wonderful time at school with screenwriting once I made that choice. The path that I would have had to travel on to work with the mentor and writing fiction books would have been brutal. Not that it might not have been rewarding at the end, but it would have been brutal. And honestly, I don't want to come out my pocket and pay for something that's brutal. I had a great experience getting my master's in screenwriting because I listened to my friend's advice and I went with the path that had the least resistance, that was the most enjoyable for me. Now, right, so ironic that I took those skills that I learned in screenwriting and applied them to writing books, which is why if you read any of my reviews on Amazon, you'll see that a lot of times people will say, like, this was like watching a movie, or this was like a TV show, or I could see this in my mind. I took the skills that I learned in screenwriting and I applied them to writing a book. And I do still want to do screenwriting, but books is where I'm at right now. You know, if you want to buy the rights to one of them and make a movie, get at me. But I felt like I didn't know what I wanted, but I was afraid of what I wanted. And when I'm afraid of what I want, I don't verbalize it. When I'm afraid that someone else can step in and decide that, no, I can't have that thing, I pretend that I don't want it. And I talk about that all the time. Is, you know, to me, that's the real imposter syndrome, is the pretending that I don't want something that I actually really want, but I've convinced myself I don't want it because I think I can't have it. I think I talked about this a few weeks ago. I do that with relationships. You know, oh, I don't want a serious relationship. I'm cool with just being friends and I'm cool with this. And at the end of the day, it's because relationships haven't worked out for me. So I'm afraid to want that. I'm afraid to want that thing that I think won't work. I've never tried my hand at writing a movie. I think because I'm afraid that I won't come up with the proper concept. You know, once I got into writing series and things that but look like they can be better in television series, I kind of got into a little comfort zone. So I keep telling myself I'm going to challenge myself and try to write a movie one day because I'm afraid to. And I might actually really enjoy it. You know, when I talk to people who want to do things like open up a store, and what's the time frame for that? I don't know. Well, why don't you know what your intention is? They know they're afraid of it. They're afraid that if they say next year, it won't be next year. They're afraid that if I say in 5 years, somehow the time is going to get away from them, and 5 years, it won't happen. It won't come to fruition. First of all, it's okay if we have to shift, right? It's like an outline. I've talked about that before. You know, life is, you know, we have an idea. That's the outline. But it's okay if things shift in the middle. It's okay if once you get to a particular place in the outline, you realize that the story is different. You realize that what it is that is coming into play, you know, you start reading the writing on the wall and you're like, oh, it's different than what I thought it was. It's something else. It's okay. And that's a note to self, because I struggle with being wrong. And when I struggle with being wrong, I don't verbalize what I want out of fear of being wrong about it, of being afraid that it's something I can't have. It's going to escape me. It's not going to be in my grasp. For a long time, when I worked in corporate, I was like, I have this love for corporate. I do have a love for human resources, but I didn't know like what part of human resources I really liked. And there were elders in my life who would be like, listen, you write. That is what you do. That is what you love. You don't want to write for a living. You don't. And I'm like, yeah, I want to write for a living. I write books. I write fiction. I'm just waiting for these joints to sell. And they're like, no, but like in other industries, in corporate or, you know, marketing or whatever, like you don't want to write. Why don't you want to write? And I'm like, oh, because that's technical writing and I don't like all styles of writing and I don't want to do that. And I was so closed off to exploring being a writer outside of this creative world, like taking my creative pieces and putting it into a more rigid world was very scary to me, because I was like, you know, I flourish in making up details and describing things and making things beautiful and making things sound sexy and making you fall in love. But to be quick, right? You see how long-winded I am? To be quick and to pick the right word and be concise and still pull you in. You know, I always complain about I don't feel like I'm that good at marketing, right? Like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to place my stuff. I don't know how to connect to the people that will actually buy my book. I don't know how to get people to leave more reviews. I don't know how to market. And so I pay someone to do some of those things for me, but because I don't really participate in it, it probably doesn't work the best as it could because, you know, I kind of don't touch it. But when I think about, you know, writing corporately or writing in another space, that's the fear that I don't know how to do that. That I don't know how to grab your attention. I don't know how to fix what the problem is through my writing. And I'm a solution-oriented person. So if I can't fix what the problem is, it's very scary to me. And then I was working for a sponsor and I got laid off and I needed money. And I didn't know what to do other than write. And there was a family friend who said they would give me work. And they were like, you know, I need to send this email to somebody, but I know the email that I'm writing isn't coming across the way that I want it to. So here's what I want, raw. Here's what I want. This is what I feel, but I don't know how to say this right. And so I rewrote the email and it was successful. And then, you know, it was like, I have this company-wide communication that I want to send out. And I don't think what I'm saying is hitting home. So they gave me more work and I did that. And I was at peace. I was enjoying myself rewriting it because honestly, it was kind of like writing synopsis. And I love writing synopsis for other people's books as well as my own. So, you know, I was like, whoa, I know this work. And so it kind of opened up a new door for me because, well, shit, out of necessity, really, because I was like, I gotta earn income. I gotta do something. And someone, you know, I love the elders in my life because they're not big on handouts. They are big on you can earn what I will give you. So I know you have a skill and I will pay you to use that skill that I need and you can earn your living. I'm not gonna give you your living, but you can earn it. And I love that because I hate to feel like I'm borrowing or I'm begging or I'm, you know, I'm in debt to someone. I like earning my dollar. So I've had that experience and then those experiences grew and it expanded. But my fear would have stopped me from having that. Had I not been laid off, I would not have been in position where it was a necessity or rather where I recognized it was a necessity. It was always a necessity. So I was miserable in my other job, miserable working for people, not doing the thing that I love, miserable. It was a necessity, but I didn't recognize it because I was comfortable with my check. And I think that when we say we don't know what we want, when we're running away from what our heart's true desire is, we are turning a blind eye to our heart's necessity. Because when I started writing corporately, marketing, and not, you know, I still don't like advertise and stuff like that. It's still not my thing. But, you know, connecting people to their audience base and helping people have comfortable conversations, helping people have difficult conversations, in a manner that's respectful, but getting the point across, helping people foster those relationships where they maintain respect and dignity for each other, as well as getting across the seriousness or whatever it is that they need to get across. Like, I enjoyed that. Writing in all parts of my life is a necessity, and I'm just realizing that. I thought I could have a long run split, and I did have a long run splitting myself in two and using this part of my brain for this and that part of my brain for that, but it was wearing me thin. And I started to say out loud what I needed. I kept saying, you know, something's got to give. Something not right, something's got to give. I got to shift this. You know, the way I work my 9 to 5 has to shift. Something has to change. I don't know how to change it, though. And perhaps me saying that out loud was my prayer. Maybe that was me asking God, me asking the universe, saying, I need help because I know something has to change because I am worn out living this life. Something has to change and I don't know how to change it. Help me. And then I got laid off. And I wasn't worried. I wasn't sad. I wasn't even scared because I had already started to do a little bit of the writing for other people. And I was at peace. And I was like, so I knew what I wanted. I wanted to not be in that job. I wanted to write full time, but I knew for sure I wanted to not be in that job. I kept saying I didn't know because I was afraid to say that this thing that finances my life, this thing that is the regular for me, this comfort zone right here, I don't want it. That's very hard for me to say, for any of us to say. This comfort zone right here where things appear to be working on the surface, I don't want it. That's hard. It's hard. And we act like we don't know what we want because it's hard. It's hard to know. And look, you know, look how many people say like, oh, if you have a singing career, a rap career, like by whatever age, like you should give up. And listen, I rapped for a long time and I felt like once I've reached a certain age, I should give up. Like it's not happening. But I knew that it was my gateway into writing some other stuff. I told stories in my raps and like I for nothing do I regret taking that road to get where I am. Because I think the skills I learned in spending the years doing that is helping me in what I'm doing now. But when I talk about how, like, you know, people say, oh, after a certain number of years, they say that in relationships, right? You be together. Oh, if y'all was together for 4 years and he still ain't proposed to you, it's a wrap, sis. You need to leave it alone because he should have proposed. He should have did this. He should have married you. He should have not measuring if either one of you were ready for marriage, not measuring if there are things that either one of you need to resolve within yourself or between each other before marriage, not measuring if marriage is even the end goal for the two of you. There's a judgment. You've been doing this for however many years. It doesn't work. Stop, right? That's what it is. There's a general consensus, there's a general judgment of if there's, and three or four years seems to be the thing that I see the most. But, you know, you've been doing this thing for 4 years and you haven't reached what I respect. So you should give it up. That's hard. That's why you have to be self-focused on your goal, on your dream, on your intention, on your calling, the thing that is pulling you, the thing that you know you want to do, because you know. And sometimes, you know, I have a cousin who's like, you know, well, I'm interested in cosmetology, but I'm also interested in this, interested in that. It's like, you know, we always think that the different things that we're interested are so far apart, when honestly, I think we would do ourselves justice and find our own lane if we figured out how to make those things work together. If you have strong interest and strong passion about 2-3 different things, maybe try imagining how those three things intersect, how they work together. Maybe that's your lane. Maybe that's why you're called for that. Maybe that's why it's so strong. I don't know. I really don't know if I think that there is a, I don't know what I want. I think your heart knows what it wants. I think your spirit knows what it wants. And I think fear is a heavy blocker, a heavy blocker. Whether it be fear, we don't, you know, in relationships, right? We say, I don't know what I want. You know, sometimes that's our way from not hurting someone's feelings. Someone is interested in a relationship. We don't want to say, I don't want to be with you. So we say, I don't know what I want. Or they're enjoying pieces of you, but they know that you're not there forever. I don't know what I want. You know what you want. Fear will block you from verbalizing it. And sometimes fear will block you from realizing it as well. Figure out what's your necessity. Do that. You have strong pulls to all these different things. Figure out how they intersect, because they intersect within you. They work within you. So they work somewhere else too, because we're made to work within the universe. So they work. They work. Work it. Work it. Don't let fear stand in the way of you getting that happy life, that joyful life, that aha, that feel good. I love what I'm doing. I love how I'm living. Don't let fear stop you from experiencing that, because I believe that we're all destined to experience that if we let ourselves. All right. My voice is drying up and I'm probably going to have a coughing attack soon. So I'm going to end this here. But I hope that you really think to yourself about what you think your struggle is and take out the fabrications, take out the parts that you say you don't know, and really be honest with yourself, because the answer's there, you know, and it may not be consistent with what you think you should know, and it may not be consistent with the opinions of other people, but that's not what you're evaluating. Get to the heart of what you want and do what you can in your life that aligns with that, so that you can have your happiest and most joyful life for as long as you possibly can. Until next time, when we can exchange our power, I thank you for joining me. Peace.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.